Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is 5 o'clock on this Green Wednesday.
Cinco de Fivo with five. Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco de Fivo brought to you as always by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by our girl Wendy. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. So we did Rich Eisen on Daniel Jones, saying he heard at the Combine that the Giants are having, quote, buyer's remorse.
Yes.
So it got me thinking, you know, lately, what would be some of the things in New York sports we should all have buyer's remorse on?
Tiki Barber has buyer's remorse for agreeing to be my partner.
That's number six. That's
not true at all.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
2023 Mets-colored plastic trumpets.
What? Wait, say that one more time.
Mets-colored
plastic trumpets in 2023.
Oh, I see. Because of the injury.
If you got yours ready to go into Citi Field and play them, you never got to play them. Buyer's remorse.
That's a good
I don't agree with that at all.
Why?
Because Edwin Diaz is coming back. Like, it was one of those injuries where you're like, well, I'm going to get my guy. It's like, that's like...
Maybe short term.
Yeah, it's a short term.
Short term buyer's remorse.
Why did it go over my head?
I mean, come on. Just go roll with the punches. If you bought a Met-colored plastic trumpet to bring to Citi Field, you a whole wasted year without it.
Okay.
You could still use it.
Thank you, Tiki.
I don't know if this bit's going to work.
You're probably going to lose the trumpet by that point, and you're not going to care.
Yeah. Kid's going to break it, smash it. All right.
Number four.
I have a feeling we are going to, you know what, right. On everything on this list. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Number four. New York Knicks Eastern Conference champion gambling tickets on FanDuel.
That's a good one. I like that one. Okay.
Buyer's remorse on that.
Oh, from a month ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Now they got no shot.
Well, and also the odds changed. Like, if you go right now and say, you know what? I still believe in my team.
It's not worth it. Yeah.
I bet you'll get better odds today.
That previous ticket is not worth it.
Yeah. Exactly. So there you go. That one, buyer's remorse.
I like that one.
Okay.
Number three.
Islanders Stadium Series jersey. Wore them once, and it will always be a classic loss attached to it.
By the way, you hit on that one, too. Mm. I completely agree with him. Like, one thing... I would have buyer's remorse on, and Lugie and I have thought about this, but there's caveats to this, is a 2000 World Series t-shirt.
Right.
Like, if I bought that before the World Series as a Met fan, I would definitely have buyer's remorse as soon as I lost that. So I agree with you. As an Islander fan, when I think of the Stadium Series, I think of Ranger fans celebrating their Fugazi Stanley Cup.
But
I don't think of good things.
The t-shirt that you're talking about, it doesn't have... the championship on it. It's just like you're in the World Series.
Yeah,
right?
But that World Series in particular is not something I want to celebrate.
Okay, but you were still there.
Doesn't matter. I'm not celebrating.
If it said National League Champ, I get by the National League Champion.
It didn't say National League Champion.
It just said World Series.
No, like the World Series shirt, like Mets, Yankees, World Series, Subway World Series shirt, I would have a complete buyer's remorse.
It's not an NLCS celebration.
They actually used to sell Subway Series shirts and hats for every regular season series. Yeah. I'm not even kidding you. That's how special it was back in the day. And so if I had bought, let's say my dad's like, hey, let's buy the 1998 Subway Series hat, I'd think back to that and say, oh, God, that sucks. We lost the series. Right. We lost the first two games. I don't want that crap. So I'd have buyer's remorse on that.
Okay, here we go.
Number two.
an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey.
See, I got a problem with this.
No, you don't.
Four more years.
You're going to set yourself up, and you're not even going to understand why you're wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the first thing that we saw after the Chiefs won a Super Bowl?
After Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift kiss.
No. Woody Johnson's stupidly showing us the Jets are coming out with New Jersey. So if you already bought an Aaron Rodgers jersey and you own it already, you got four snaps out of it. The Jets are going to change the stupid jerseys.
That's actually
so you're
a
only
really
owning, owning the model Jet jersey that Rodgers is only known for tearing his Achilles in.
That's a good point.
Touche, sir. Touche.
No doubt. Well done, Sean. Well
you're welcome.
Done.
Here we go.
Number one.
And the number one thing every New York sports fan should have buyer's remorse on, 2023-2024 Brooklyn Nets season tickets.
Yes.
Was there a game last night? Yeah, they won.
And that is your Cinco de Fivo today and every day.
The Nets still in the league.
Yeah, we all went to the Nets Sixers game. Tiki, I want to commend them. Stayed until 6.5 minutes to go with the fourth quarter.
That's right.
Had a great time with the winner of the suite, Jeff, and all his friends. We had a good time. It was a fun afternoon or evening.
Scott.
Did I say Jeff?
Yeah, Scott. Yes, it's Scott.
Scott, my apologies.
Son Mason.
Yes, they were great.
You're so good with names.
Charlie was the black guy.
Okay.
So I remember these things.
Can you name everybody who was there?
No.
Do you know the story about Charlie?
About what? What about Charlie?
Charlie saw me in the suite with this pink beard.
Okay.
And apparently says, who invited this freak?
He thought he was another friend of Scott's at first.
And that story encompasses the last 48 hours. Like when I was walking around Brooklyn yesterday with the pink beard, I felt like I was being looked at. And today, with this this beard I'm wearing today is over the top.
Well, good thing there's no sports for you to attend today.
Dude, I'm going right home tonight.
I'm in the shower. I'll talk to you in 5 minutes.
Immediately. Like, if my kids are still up, I'll let them get a good laugh. And I am showering this crap off. And so you'd have to admit the green has stuck the most.
It has. Yeah, it warranted a text from my mom saying it's, quote, jarring. He looks like somebody sprinkled Scott's fertilizer in his face and it's really popped for spring.
You know what I was thinking? Chia pet.
Yeah, a little chia pet, too. It is. And also, you know what? He's wearing a very bright red
sleeved
shirt.
Yes, I think that's the contrast. Is the red and the green. It feels Christmassy.
Yeah, he looks like he's dressed for SantaCon now.
Right, but it's not a white beard. It's a green beard.
So weird.
Well, I've got 12.
It messes with your eyes for sure.
I got 12 more days to be beard colored. So.
But, by the way, real quickly, can we congratulate Evan, please, for last night in the suite? Evan Roberts, with a Brooklyn Net game in front of him, was so extremely social in talking to everybody there, having beers and everything.
That's a good point.
And if we are going to sit here and knock Evan for being too sports nerdy, he deserves a round of applause for being a man of the people in that suite while his beloved Nets are playing in front of him.
I know that's painful for you, but
thank you very much. They deserve the interaction. Yeah. Plus, my favorite part is I'm talking to Mason, who is a young guy, works for the NBA. Yep. And Sean walks by our conversation, and he just started laughing. He's like, are you guys literally breaking down Chet Holmgren?
I heard come out of that. Like, you guys got to be kidding me.
That was a fun time. Everybody was a cool dude. We had a lot of good food. Loogie turned out to be the ultimate winner here because not only did I immediately order fries when we got into the suite like he asked for, but then, and I had nothing to do with this. I don't take credit for things I didn't do.
They were listening.
All of a sudden, the Barclays Center crew comes in with a boiling hot cookie that you specifically said, Evan, get me cookies, and they better be hot. And they come in with a boiling hot cookie saying, Evan, this is for you. I'm like, no, I appreciate that. It's for that diva.
Warm and gooey. Boiling hot sounds unappetizing, but it was great. It was like when Fridays comes to sing happy birthday.
Right, one chocolate chip, one oatmeal raisin.
Correct.
I crushed the oatmeal raisin.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to take advantage of it, too. So it was a wonderful, wonderful night, and yes, I barely watched the game, but I think with about 10 minutes to go, the looks were, all right, go do your thing. And I sat down, and Keith McPherson's there, and we are just locked in. And we're cursing. And you know what we're doing? And I'm sorry, I need to bring this up. And you want to call me a hater, I'll be a hater.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is why, when you have to root for teams you hate, they always bite you in the ass. So last night, the Nets pull it off against the Sixers. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. The Knicks are playing the Hawks. The Nets are 2.5 games behind the Hawks. The crappy Atlanta Hawks, who got beat twice by the Nets over the weekend. Got beat twice. They're without Trae Young. They're not any good. And the New
Except
York
for last
Knicks
night.
Get absolutely smoked by the... Don't tell me they came back and showed heart and they tied the game. Whatever. They got their butts kicked.
Yeah, the game felt over in the first quarter. What was it? 40-something to 20?
They were getting killed.
It was bad.
They couldn't hit a three. They got beaten on the offensive glass. They got destroyed by the Atlanta Hawks.
They got compared to bad college basketball teams in the conversations we were having.
Well, because they were.
Someone was saying, you know, you get a bad college basketball team trying to shoot three-pointers and they can't make any.
Yes.
They get run out of the building.
Well, that was their strategy. Their thought was, we better hit threes. If we don't, we got no chance.
Right.
And so let me just bemoan this. I can't stand the Knicks. But yesterday on the radio, I said numerous times, let's go Knicks.
Let's go Knicks.
Can you help me out?
Just keep the hate in your voice.
They suck. Right.
If you keep the hate in their voice, they would have played well.
Oh, stop it.
They felt comfortable because you were rooting for them yesterday.
Anytime you need a team you don't like to help you, they hose you every time.
So don't root for them.
I had to.
Why?
Because them beating the Hawks would have been beneficial to the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, so be surprised by that. Don't want it. Be surprised by it.
No, man.
And so if you would have just kept your natural hate, the Knicks would have done what the Knicks usually do, beat bad teams.
I don't think my power would have went that far. All I know is, you know what I'm doing right now feverishly? Because I'm nervous.
Trying to sell your tickets?
No, I've already done that. I'm checking the Yankee schedule. Because what I need to know is, who are they playing in September while the Mets are in a pennant race? So that they screw us, because I know that they will. Yankees will be fine, but let me see. Okay, I got it. I have the series. I have it right in front of me right now. The Chicago Cubs, first weekend of the NFL season.
Mm.
That I'm telling you right now, Mets are going to surprise people. They're going to be in a tied little race with the Chicago Cubs. And I'm going to convince Loogie on that Friday, in which we're not on the air because the Cubs and the Yankees are playing at 220. Yeah.
Oh, it's Wrigley?
Yes.
Road trip?
No, but by the way, home run by Major League Baseball. What a way to promote the Yankees at Wrigley Field and having everybody watch football that weekend.
Right.
That is true. But the Yankees are going to play the Cubs. We as Met fans are going to need the Yankees. I'm going to convince everybody, hey, guys, forget your Yankee hatred for the greater good. Mets are in a pennant race.
Mm-hmm.
Loogie will say, I can't do it. I'm going to say, you have to do it. And then the Yankees are going to proceed to get swept by the Cubs at Wrigley Field.
So
I can sense it now.
So based on your most recent history,
yeah,
a la last night, why don't you just not do that?
Because you don't have a choice in that.
Yes, you do.
What do you mean?
Just say, the Yankees stink. They're going to screw us. They're going to lose this thing. Then I'm not rooting for them. They're going to mess us. They're going to screw us out of the wild card because they can't beat the Cubs.
Yeah.
Just say it like that.
Yeah, it doesn't usually work, though. Even if you say that, they're still going to screw you, and you're still going to be upset.
But you'll feel better about it because at least you're throwing hate at the Yankees.
Doesn't work that way.
Instead of throwing flowers at the Yankees and then not letting you down, so you're doubly disappointed.
Look, everybody knows what I'm saying is true. When there's a team you don't like and you ask for their help, they always screw you. Now, real quick about the Yankees. Number one, let me calm anyone down about Carlos Rodon today. Mm. All right? He pitched 3 innings, 3 runs, I think. Yeah,
gave up a home run on his first pitch.
First pitch, yeah.
Do not get crazy about spring training performances, good and bad. And I'll tell you why Sean is out of his mind.
Mm.
So the other day he comes to me and says, you know, Clark Schmidt
is pitching so well in spring training. I think he's going to end up being our second best pitcher, and he's going to get
second.
Yeah, and he's going to get Cy Young votes.
Okay? To be fair, I thought that pre-spring training, but okay.
Sure. He says it because he's pitching well in spring training.
Right.
And I say to him, Sean, I don't want to be a bad guy. It's spring training. The only key is just get out of this thing healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that for all my guys. I've been saying that on the Rico.
Right. For now, any team.
No question. Now, here's the caveat. Like, Tyler McGill is battling for a rotation spot. For him, it's important. He's trying to win a job. So Tyler McGill's off to a great start in spring training. That matters to him because that may be the difference between him being in the rotation and not. So I think a guy like him is different. Clark Schmidt's in the rotation unless the Yankees make some kind of signing. Carlos Rodon is in the rotation, okay, barring injury. Mm-hmm. That's all you should care about. So from a positive standpoint, pipe down about Clark Schmidt. And from a negative standpoint, dude, relax about Carlos Rodon.
No.
It's a spring training game.
No. I will not relax about Carlos Rodon.
Why?
Because at least last year I saw some promise from Clark Schmidt. He was a good surprise, and you want to see a building block. You want to take a next step. Carlos Rodon, I'm sorry, is one of the very few players in this town where you didn't want to be in panic mode in spring based off of what we saw in last season. And that's not a good... You're right. Get out of here healthy and everything. But that's not an encouraging sign, and that is worrisome, dude. And by the way, today, I know nobody cares, Yamamoto got lit up for the Dodgers. If he was a Yankee or Met right now, we wouldn't be in worrisome. Like, he's never pitched here, he's getting lit up.
No,
of course you would be.
You wouldn't be worried because he's never pitched here, and he's still adjusting to Major League Baseball.
But you just spent a lot of money. You'd be panicking a little bit.
I don't think you'd be panicking with Yamamoto. Maybe his next, the third or so start. By the way, Carlos Rodon gave up another home run?
Yeah. Well, but and here's the thing, though. What did we also hear?
He lost bad today.
He lost weight. He was healthier. Like, everything that bothered him last year was going to be a problem, and here he is sucking again.
I get that he has a lot to prove this year, and I'm not arguing that he doesn't have a lot to prove this year, but he can prove nothing in the Grapefruit League. Nothing. If he dominates, he proves nothing. If he pitches badly, he proves nothing. Let me remind Met fans and Yankee fans, Robinson Cano in 2022 was in Met spring training, and he hit .380. Tomas Nito in that same camp at like .410. And I remember these things because I knew when it was happening that this didn't mean anything. So I know I like watching spring training, but I always explain the juxtaposition I'm in. I watch it knowing it doesn't mean anything. Mm. Knowing that the good and the bad should not be overstated. It is about health. And so far, and I promise you I'm going to knock on wood when I do this because I do not root for injuries. The Yankees have had a great spring training. Because nobody's gotten hurt.
Yeah.
True. Mets, on the other hand, it's been shaky. They've already lost Kodai Senga. McNeil's dealing with a bicep issue. There's already some worries, and we'll see what they look like come opening day. But you got to pipe down about the good and the bad. I am the voice of reason,
Health
Tiki.
Matters.
I agree. Health, I would rank first. And I'm not telling you I've hit the panic button, throw them out the window. All I am telling you is that we're supposed to be pitching, supposed to be ahead of hitting this time of year.
Maybe he's working on something. Maybe he's trying new pitches.
Adrian Hauser said that the other day after he struggled at the Mets.
By the way, when you struggle in spring training or whatever, training camp in the NFL, that's what you say.
Yeah.
We're just working in some new things. There's nothing to be worried about. Confidence is the most important thing that you got to take into the next outing, whatever that is.
Work on getting the things back that got you the contract to begin with.
It's spring training, Sean. Mm. Like, literally, if he struggles in his first start of the year against the Astros, even though that'll still be too early, I will understand. Hey, here we go again. Here it is.
But then I don't want to hear 2 weeks ago you're in the best shape of your life. This is, you know what I mean? Like, everything was painted. It's already different, and then the results on the field are not different. Uh-huh. That is worrisome to me. I'm sorry.
I think the only thing that's bothering Sean is that I'm just looking at his 2024 spring training numbers. It's only two outings.
He didn't pitch. That was the biggest problem last year.
Two games, but I'm talking spring training versus regular season. The numbers look exactly the same.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying. 6.3 ERA to a 6.8 ERA.
And this is where Evan's thing doesn't translate.
With
you're right.
All that stuff, it's exactly the same.
Right.
So it feels like it's a continuation. I understand this from Sean's perspective. It feels like it's a continuation of what you saw in the 2023 regular season from Carlos Rodon.
And I'm less worried about the hitter aspect of it because in baseball, look, people go through 2 week slumps. So whatever happens in spring training or in pitching, this is the time of year the pitching should be ahead. You can't be abysmal when you were abysmal last year.
I think you're being too crazy, in my opinion. Now, tell me if I'm being too crazy. I was thinking about this the other day when.
I should say that with a green beard.
I know.
I know. Everything I say today is like, look at that guy speaking. Lindy Ruff got fired. Was it last week or was it earlier this week? I'm losing
my mind. It was a couple of days ago. Oh, okay. It was this week.
A couple of days ago, Lindy Ruff got fired as the head coach of the New Jersey Devils. And it started popping into my mind, okay, who's next? Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that. Don't root for anyone to lose their job. But
meaning not in hockey, but in New York.
In New York sports, of all the local teams we have, all the hockey coaches are safe because the Devils literally just fired their coach. And they have an interim, which we don't count. Same thing with the Islanders. Right. They fired their coach recently. And the Rangers are dealing their first year of Peter Laviolette. He seems fine. The basketball coaches, well, the Nets just fired their coach, so they have an interim coach. And Tom Thibodeau is very safe. Then you get to football. Robert Saleh clearly on the hot seat. Clearly this is a year where Saleh's got to prove it. And I think Brian Daboll is mostly safe. I think it would take a disaster for him to kind of re-enter hot seat territory. Carlos Mendoza just got hot.
Hello, Mindy.
And then you have Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone is the problem in the conversation because he could be gone and not fired.
Oh, don't play that game with me.
I'm just being real.
You're right. His contract expires. The Yankees have done this before, so this is not abnormal. Aaron Boone's contract expires at the end of the season. So Tiki is 100% right. The Yankees did this with Joe Girardi. They didn't fire him.
That's right.
They didn't retain him. Now, to me, and I think to most people, that was a firing. They chose not to bring him back.
It feels like a firing because it felt like he was the reason that they didn't achieve.
Yeah.
And so, or couldn't take the next step. So let's try something else. We're not firing you because you're not under contract. But we don't want you either.
Yeah, I think Aaron Boone for this season is very, very safe. Like, I don't see the Yankees, even if they struggle, firing their manager middle of season. It's not something they've done in basically centuries.
Right.
Really,
but,
since pre-Buck Showalter.
What's the contract? The contract is it's expired, but there's an option?
There is a team option that the Yankees could exercise, which would keep him under control. So he's not a true free agent.
Yeah.
Which Joe Girardi was when he re-signed, by the way. Not when they decided not to bring him back. And there were all these rumors he was going to go to the Cubs. Mm-hmm. He chose to stay. Mm-hmm. And he was a true free agent, which Craig Counsell just encountered. Like, we've seen this sometimes in baseball. You don't see this ever in the NFL.
No.
Like, when does this ever happen in the NFL?
Never. You never get to be free as a coach.
Right. So Counsell just did it. Boone could do it. But I look at the Yankees and say, if they didn't exercise his option, other than immediately announcing a new contract, he's done.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to not exercise. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course. Like, if they're off to a whatever start and they're looking like they're heading towards where everybody wants them to be, you can bank that he's going to get the extension or that he's going to get a new contract right on top of that. Right? Get rid of the option. Just get a new contract on top of that. They get to the playoffs and push to the ALCS. You're not even thinking about him not being the manager for the short and long term. Right?
That's a good question, Tiki. I think that if the Yankees, first of all, they're not firing a midseason. No. So I stand by that. So this idea of, well, Brad Ausmus is the bench coach and Joe Girardi's on Yes Network.
But it's his first year, right?
As the Yankee bench coach, yes. Yeah, because he's replacing Carlos Mendoza, who's now the manager of the Mets. That's not a threat. I'm going to make that very, very clear. I know that sounds like a threat, and maybe to some Yankee fans that don't like Aaron Boone for whatever reason, they want to think of it as, there's your replacement. There is no room. They're not firing him midseason. Now, they missed the playoffs. I think there's a very good chance he's gone. Mm. His fault or not doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
They don't make the playoffs after making the kind of acquisition they made this offseason. I think he's gone. I think Cashman may be gone, but Boone is definitely gone. You agree with that?
Yeah, because it's a similar situation as Robert Saleh with the Jets. Like, this is the year that you have to produce, and you're going to be held responsible for it. And if you don't make the playoffs, you're not going to be here next year. Same thing with Robert Saleh. You don't make the playoffs, you're not going to be here.
I think you're
year.
Right. I just don't like the comparison because Robert Saleh's won nothing in this town.
I understand
at least
that,
Aaron Boone's had
but
some
I'm just talking about
seasons.
The snapshot circumstances that both of those two coaches find themselves in. Because when we were talking about who's next, I mean, you've already mentioned the three that are already gone. Those are the only ones that feel like they're even in the conversation.
Saleh and Aaron Boone.
Yeah, Saleh and Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Dave's doesn't unless it's a 2-for-15 season.
What if the Knicks don't make the playoffs? What if they go into the play-in tournament and get knocked out by the Brooklyn Nets?
No, I still don't think so.
Okay.
You know why? Because there's an excuse.
Yeah, the injury excuse.
The injury excuse backs it up. And before the injury started to take over this Knicks team, they felt like one of the best teams in the East.
No, I agree with you.
So Tibbs has a not a pass, but he has the excuse written for him already.
Yeah, and also, the only thing that gives me pause is that sometimes in the NBA, firings come out of absolute nowhere, and they don't make any sense on paper. And a lot of times in the NBA that occurs. But I agree with you, it's solemn boon.
Right.
I think, though, to answer your question of, okay, the Yankees make the playoffs, they get knocked out in the divisional round, there will be a great amount of Yankee fans that will need something to show their displeasure.
Right. They'll say, Aaron just can't get us there.
And it would be Aaron Boone. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean I think the Yankees would do it? I don't know. I think sometimes it's how it ends. And look at the way it ended in 2017 for Joe Girardi. Like, from a winning standpoint, he deserved to keep his job.
Of course.
They got to the, in a year in which there were no expectations, they got to the seventh game of the American League Championship Series. And yet the Yankees decided, we need a new voice. Now, they had their reasons for it,
right.
But it had nothing to do with wins and losses. Keep that in mind. It had nothing to do with results. I think this is a very, very interesting year for Aaron Boone because he's been here a while,
mm-hmm.
and not that this is his fault. They haven't won anything.
No.
And eventually, when you don't win something, especially with a massively high payroll and the expectations that they have, he may be the guy that gets the blame.
Right.
And with his contract running out, it makes it awfully easy to do
and
it.
And you're mentioning Girardi, and it wasn't about results with him being not re-signed or not given an extension or re-signed. I think with Robert Saleh and with Aaron Boone, it feels like it's about the result. And unlike with Tom Thibodeau, the excuse won't matter. Right? We lost this guy and Aaron Rodgers got hurt again and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to matter. They're going to get fired.
Yeah. Or
not retained.
It's easy. Like, baseball's complicated. I was starting to begin my predictions. I like to write them down. Mm-hmm. I like to analyze. I do a whole podcast about it. And I was getting to the Yankees. And I'm like, okay. Evan, what do you think of the Yankees? And here's what I'm leaning towards. And I apologize because I know Sean's not, he's going to get offended by it. Like, I have some ulterior motive. No, I make predictions. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I think the Yankees are going to win a lot of games.
I think we're pretty good.
I agree. I think they're going to win a lot of regular season games. In fact, I'd say that Aaron Boone is going to pilot yet another team to 100 plus wins.
Mm.
I do. That's right. Honest to God, that's where I'm leaning towards.
Okay. Okay.
The problem is.
Here we go.
I think it ends the way it always ends.
Which is?
At the hands of the Houston Astros.
I disagree.
I think that's fine. You can disagree. I'm telling you, and just hear me out on
this. Why do you believe that that's the case?
Because it's always the case.
Jose Altuve.
Not to Joe Espada, it ain't.
Well, just like to Dusty Baker, it wasn't, and then you did. They've had many different, they've had three managers now over the last few years. But that's not the point. I'm not trying to argue this. It's a prediction. So, okay, sure, we can argue it. Let's say I'm right. Just walk me down here. They win 104 games. Mm. They are in the ALCS, and the Astros beat the crap out of them. Just say I'm right. What are we going to, want Aaron Boone fired? Because I think there will be Yankee fans that will want that. Because the ultimate goal is championships. Mm. But we have also heard Brian Cashman say, it's a crapshoot. You never know. So I'll ask you, Sean, it's not about arguing if I'm right or wrong. It's a prediction. And you can admit that's a realistic prediction. I'm putting you guys over because
sure.
For 162 games, I think you're going to kick ass. I think you're going to win the American League East. At least I lean there. I'm not official yet. I think the Orioles take a little bit of a step back. Okay? But let's say I'm right. 103 wins, 104 wins, American League East. And then you come up really small against the same kryptonite you can't beat. When we're sitting here on October 28th, are you calling for the firing of Aaron Boone, saying we got to do something different?
I want to be honest. I probably would, but I would probably be an idiot.
Mm. Because you'd be reactionary.
I understand.
You'd be a reactionary.
It's easy for me to say in March, I would be pissed off and say, how many times are you going to run into the same problem and have that? And I probably will call for the firing of Aaron Boone. And 6 months removed, I'd probably look back and go, that was probably too reactionary.
That's the complication, Tiki, of the job status of Aaron Boone.
Right.
He really isn't safe from a lot of Yankee fans unless there's a freaking parade down the Canyon of Heroes.
And you know, I've been comparing these two, Robert Saleh and Aaron Boone. The real difference is that we kind of know that Aaron Boone's a good coach. We don't know yet if Robert Saleh's a good coach. We still know. He's got to prove it.
100%. There's a huge difference.
Aaron Boone has proved it.
Aaron Boone's a good manager, and right. Aaron Boone's had regular season success. That's why I hate that they're in the same sentence because they're different even if they're the same.
But the circumstances are exactly the same.
Look, the circumstances being the
meaning
same.
Meaning the wins and losses and the success quotient. Well, however you want to define that, it matters.
You know what's not the same, though? Let's say the Jets have the prediction I just gave the Yankees. They go 13-4.
AFC championship.
They get to the AFC title game and get smoked by the Kansas City Chiefs. They get smoked.
Coming back with tons of enthusiasm for 2025.
Do you think I'm on the radio calling for Robert Saleh to be fired?
Not even close.
I have a tough time believing I would do that.
You definitely wouldn't.
I have a tough time. Because
you would think that, oh, we just need whatever in the draft or free agency, and now we can beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to think.
You know what would probably be
and
the
tearing it down and getting rid of Robert Saleh is only going to make everything restart.
Yes.
You don't want to do that.
The only scenario where I could see saying, oh, we got to change the coach, is if they lose the AFC title game because of a horrific coaching decision. Like, if there's a decision that's made.
I'll stop.
Why?
Just don't think the negativity.
Well, this whole
because if they're in the AFC championship game, it's the last thing that's going to be on your mind.
No, no, I'm not saying it's on my mind. I'm trying to answer.
But think about it.
I'm trying to answer this fairly.
All right, you're asking yourself this question now, but let's fast forward to January of 2025, and it's the AFC championship game. Going into that game, you're not going to be saying, I just hope that we don't have a coach's decision that costs us this game.
No, no, you're right. I'm not going to be saying that, but I'm trying to think of the scenario where I would.
There won't be one. If you're in the AFC championship game, you are all good with this team.
Okay.
And this coaching staff, and maybe a few guys you want to, we could be better at right guard. We could be better at, I don't know, strong safety, whatever it may be. But you're not going to want the head coach fired.
But in Boone's case, you would agree that they could have the greatest.
It'll be in the conversation.
I think it's in the conversation. I want to take one thing back. It's not winning the World Series. I think it's getting to the World Series.
I agree.
If they got there, even if they got like annihilated by any team not named the Mets, because I think the Mets are the game changer, I think you'd say, all right, we finally got to the World Series. Okay.
What, think they lose to the Mets in the World Series? That makes Aaron Boone not employable?
No, but I think the fan reaction is. I think Sean's reaction is very different.
Yeah.
He knows it.
The moment. And by the way, if the Jets did make an AFC title game and lost, and the evidence of why they lost was solid, no clue, time management, all of that, Jet fans would feel the same way about me with Boone. They would say, that's why we're not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we only have one more year here.
You hear this?
What's going on? We got an alarm going off?
Yeah. Alarm's going off.
A minute early.
Loogie's supposed to just interrupt us.
Do you know why the alarm's going off?
I do. Regardless of what we're talking about.
Wait, do you know why the alarm's going off?
Of course I do.
Why is the alarm going off?
Because we need to hear the great John Sterling.
That's right. Every day at 5:30, as we get closer and closer to the baseball season, we need to hear a random home run call from one of the great radio voices of all time. You know him as John Sterling, as he gives us his John Sterling random home run call of the day.
It's time for John Sterling's home run call of the day.
The pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep center. Beltran back, away back. That ball is gone. And it went over the second fence into the Yankee bullpen sitting area. An enormous home run for Nick Green. His first Yankee hit, his first Yankee homer, his first Yankee RBI. It isn't easy being Green, but Nick is having one heck of a night. It is a two-run Nick Green home run, and the Yankees have a 9-4 lead.
All right, how far was that home run? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I do.
You remember this?
Off the top of your head.
All right, so go play that again, and just stop it after the contact.
The pitch is swung.
It sounded like he hit the hell out of that baseball.
Yeah,
it
certainly did.
I don't know why. For whatever reason, maybe the mic was just close enough to the bat that you heard the reverberation.
Yeah.
That thing sounded crushed.
I think he did. John certainly described it like it. That's well done right there. It is an easy being green on a day in which I
forget the grade. I'm stuck on the contact.
You get stuck in the weirdest things.
I just can't help it. All right, Nick Green, what year was that?
Oh, man.
That was 2006.
All right.
2006, Nick Green home run. Oh, my God. All right. What are you trying to find?
I'm just going to find how far it went.
How are you going to find how far it went?
There are ways.
I think that home run might have been July 2nd, 2006.
All right. Good luck down that rabbit hole.
Let us know how it works out.
Every day at 5:30, you get your John Sterling home run call of the day. Let's go to Mark in Beacon Falls, Connecticut. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
I have the perfect comparison for Aaron Boone, and that's Bill Cowher for the Steelers. They could not get past the Patriots. They go 15-1, lose in the AFC title game, 14-2, lose in the first round. But the Steelers stuck with them. And fortunately for the Steelers, the Patriots lost, and they only had to go through the Colts and the Broncos to get to the Super Bowl.
But it's an interesting comparison, because I know baseball managing and football coaching are so different. The only thing that jumps out at me as different is that early in Bill Cowher's career, he coached the Steelers to a Super Bowl, even if they didn't win. Yeah. And so I think that's one of the big differences. I think if the Yankees had gotten to a World Series, let's say in 2019, they got past the Astros, but they lost to the Nationals, I do think the view would be different. I think there are very, very high standards with the Yankees, rightfully so. And the fact that they have not gotten past a league championship series, and yes, they've lost to the same team over and over again, but he doesn't have it in the bank that he's been to a World Series, I think hurts. And it's crazy. It's an incredibly high standard. I mean, you look at Aaron Boone's accomplishments in the regular season, despite what happened a year ago, they're very, very good. But eventually you have to win. And this Yankee regime, the younger Steinbrenner regime, has been a little bit more patient in terms of what his dad would have done. Right. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think that the Yankee fan, who tends to blame the manager, and we do it too, Met fans, it's not like we're above that, will probably look at any kind of failure short of a World Series and say, well, you have to do something. And the something is likelier to be the manager than it is the general manager. More of your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And bad news about Juan Soto, for Met fans specifically. We'll address it coming up. I did not remember this, which means it is not in my book, My Mets Bible, which you can pre-order right now on Amazon. Comes out on April 2nd. That Nick Green home run we played from John Sterling, and I have no recollection of this, occurred against the Mets in the Subway Series back in 2006. The only thing I remember about the Subway Series of games in 2006, I got two memories. The David Wright game winner at Shea Stadium, which you see on SNY all the time. Got no problem with that, against Mariano Rivera. And then the other one is a Lay Solaire throwing batting practice on Sunday night against the Yankees.
Yes.
And A-Rod and Paul LaDuca almost got into a fight. But what I don't remember is apparently later in that game I'm talking about, the Lay Solaire game, Nick Green hit this bomb of a home run against Heath Bell.
Yes.
So that home run was against the Mets. Right. And I have no recollection of it.
And it was a bomb.
It was a bomb.
Yeah.
The thing I remember
left
is
center.
That
I'm trying to find the distance. I just can't find it.
They gave up a ton of home runs in that game. Like, the Yankees just destroyed the Mets. And that was the final meeting of the Subway Series in a year in which the Mets and Yankees had a legitimate chance to play in the World Series. They actually finished, and I think this is the only time this ever happened. The only time this ever happened. The Mets and Yankees finished with the best records in each league going into the playoffs that year. Yankees got knocked out early by Detroit. Mets got to the NLCS. We all know what happened. Game 7 against the Cardinals. So, how about that? I didn't even know there was a Met connection. Lugie had no idea it was a Met collection because he wouldn't have played it.
Nope. And clearly that game is not in your book, My Mets Bible.
No.
You can pre-order on Amazon. It comes out April 2nd. Because you didn't remember at all. I walked in there and go, dude, they hit that against the Mets.
I went back and looked and said, what games from 06 did I put in my book? And I've got the division clincher, in which I got out of going to work. I got Elimination Day, which is a very special day in Met fans' hearts. Elimination Day is the day we beat the Dodgers to sweep the divisional series, and the Yankees lost to the Tigers that exact afternoon and got knocked out in the divisional series. So think about it. Elimination Day. Yankees get knocked out. Mets advance. That was one of the most, let's be honest, euphoric days in Met history.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I'm making a list of just days in Met history, for those under the age of 43, so you don't remember 86, top one?
Yeah, it's definitely in the top, yeah, top 1%, sure, 100%. Yeah.
It's towards the top. And then I've got, of course, Game 7. I got that in the book, where they lose to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
One other thing before we get back to your calls. Sauce Gardner is my favorite New York Jet.
Okay.
He's my favorite New York Jet for a myriad of reasons.
Number one, because he's good?
He's excellent. He's awesome. And he's just such a good dude. Like, I follow him on social media, and he's the only athlete I'll say this about. I love when he tweets. Like, I love what he puts out there.
What did he say?
Do you mind if I just read to you the last three tweets from Sauce Gardner?
Go ahead.
Number one, he puts out a video of two Giant fans mocking the Jets for drafting Sauce Gardner over Evan Neal. So it's two Giant fans celebrating.
Oh, so he's trolling.
I mean, you want to call that trolling?
Yes.
He's commenting. He's responding. So I got this video of these two loser Giant fans.
Okay, so when did this happen?
When did what happen?
What's he subtweeting?
Someone put the video out and said, quote, stupid-ass, bum-ass franchise.
Who X'd it?
And Sauce responded to it and said, I wonder what these two guys are doing right now. So, yes, he's trolling you a little bit.
Of course he
is. But it's kind of fun. Then he asks, what's more important, Sauce or seasonings? Real answers only. Very thought-provoking question. But then he says the creme de creme. Is Cinnamon Toast Crunch the best cereal in the world right now?
Not even close.
That, no. And let me tell you, this man is so wholesome, Sauce Gardner. He's a wholesome. You know this about him, right?
Of course.
I think he's never had a drink.
Yes.
Like, he is a wholesome, down-to-earth dude.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
He's right.
Has he ever had Captain Crunch Crunch Berries?
Captain Crunch Crunch Berries, come on.
Nah, Crunch Berries are better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a top three cereal.
I'd rather have Raisin Bran.
Oh, come on, Tiki. The only thing that matches Cinnamon Toast Crunch, in my humble opinion, and you came close to saying it, but you didn't, is Captain Crunch peanut butter.
Good.
That's a good one.
Nothing beats Oreo.
I don't know if I've ever had it.
You've never had what?
Captain Crunch peanut butter.
How have you had Captain Crunch berry crunch, but not peanut butter?
Because I like sweet over peanuts.
You got to try. You want me to bring it in tomorrow?
I would love to.
I'm going to bring in.
I'm not going to go buy a box myself.
No, I think you should. That was my game. We're each going to bring in our two favorite cereals of all time. We'll have a little test taste. Test taste. My two would be Peanut Butter Crunch and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oat milk or regular milk?
I'm bringing milk in. Who's bringing milk in?
You don't eat cereal with milk?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. So Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Peanut Butter Crunch, not good with milk.
Oh, then I disagree with
cereal,
that.
No, then they're not cereal.
Exactly.
They are removed.
In order to be a great cereal, you have to put it in milk, let it soak in the milk, and it's just, you just want to drink the whole bottle.
Right, you drink the milk after.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Why does that have to be a prerequisite for being a cereal? Like, I totally get the milk aspect.
No, because you're a snack if you're not putting the milk.
Yes. Okay. That's right. My kids take dry cereal to school in little Ziploc bags as snacks.
Yeah. Well, okay, I agree with that.
It's not a cereal. It's a snack.
Wait, so what... Well, hold on a second.
A cereal serves as breakfast. You sit there, you pour in a bowl and milk. That is breakfast cereal.
No, no,
yes.
That's right. You made those rules up. Like, I remember
it's
being a
societal.
When you were a kid, don't tell me you had cereal without milk.
All the time. And I would have it at night. Like, I'd have it while I was watching the Met game. I used to do that when I was single living in Maryland. I used to just pound Peanut Butter Crunch as I was watching the Mets on VHS tape.
So that's just like grabbing a bag of Chex Mix. Or, I don't know.
Okay, so what
of pistachios?
So it's not a cereal because I don't have milk in it?
Because you're just grabbing it and eating it. It's like a snack.
By the way,
like a cereal has to be put in a bowl with a spoon and milk.
Can you ask
cereal?
Can you ask the Jets if Sauce could come on this week? We don't care about football. We just need to get him to break this down because I think he'd be on my side.
No, he wouldn't, because he's a normal human being that eats cereal with milk. That's how you judge a cereal.
You don't have to eat cereal with milk. There's no rule that says that.
You don't have to, but you cannot consider something the best cereal if you have not sat down and ate it with milk.
So what is it when I eat it without milk?
A snack.
A snack.
Well, it's a cereal snack.
It's trail mix.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's a cereal that I'm having as a snack.
Have you ever had trail mix?
I hate it.
All right.
I've had it. Not a fan.
All right, have you ever had Chex Mix?
Yeah,
right. Okay. And so they have those little things in there, those little square things. They're puffy, and they have crisscross, like they're latched.
The Chex.
Right, the Chex. That's cereal, right? But if there's no milk in it, it's just Chex Mix.
I mean, come on.
I'm just being honest.
It's like just made-up rules
it's
that you guys
have. I can't tell if you're trolling us.
I'm not trolling. I'm telling you right now, and I haven't done it in a while. Like, I have not noshed on these cereals in a while, and I probably shouldn't because it ain't healthy, and I'm just going to put more weight on.
So much sugar.
So much sugar.
Cinnamon, not Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Captain Crunch Crunch Berries are amazing.
Because it's healthier?
It's not healthy.
Oh. What are you even talking about?
Because it's so sweet.
Oh, well, so Cinnamon Toast, whatever. I haven't had this kind of munching in a very long time, but that's the way I used to eat cereal. Like, I would put a bowl at 10 o'clock at night. Mm. I'd be watching either All in the Family or a Met game. And I would eat. I would just shove my face with Peanut Butter Crunch or Cinnamon Toast.
It's still cereal if you don't put milk in it.
No, it's not.
Perhaps it's not the right way to eat it, Evan. Yeah,
that's
fine. I still think Cinnamon Toast Crunch would be good with or without milk.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think Lucky Charms is good without milk, but it's still cereal.
All right, 100%. Even if you call it cereal, you cannot declare it the best cereal if you don't eat it with milk.
But he doesn't eat any cereal.
This
with
comes
milk.
From the eating expert on the show, by the way.
To judge a cereal at its core, you have to drink the milk after. What does that taste like? Like, that's it. It's a breakfast.
No. You don't write the rules on this. You can eat things anyway.
Society did, Evan.
No, they didn't. You just made that up.
No,
what? Society didn't do anything.
I kind of want to have cereal for dinner now.
Hell yeah, bro. It's a great snack at night.
Me too. I'm going to bring in Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Peanut Butter Crunch. Right. Those are my two favorites. What are your two favorites?
Perfect. I told you.
Berry Captain Crunch and what else? I'm holding you to this, man.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
Honey Bunches of Oats. Yeah. Skip his cereal.
Okay, Kevin Garnett.
Which two are you bringing? Me.
I'm not here, but if I was here, I would bring Oreo O's.
We'll save it for Friday, then. I want you to be involved. That's
Oreo
okay.
O's, and I'd probably go Apple Jacks, number two.
Apple Jacks is good. That's a solid one.
Oh, I forgot about Apple
I
Jacks.
I forgot, too. Apple Jacks is in bed. And by the way, there are certain cereals, I'll tell you which ones they are, that I only have with milk, like Cheerios. I'm a big Cheerios guy.
Cheerios with milk.
But
you got to have milk. I mean, Cheerios without milk don't taste good.
It's okay.
It's
but
like Odie.
It's so not as good. But you know what it has to be with? I got another thing. It's got to be Cheerios, milk, and sliced bananas. Oh.
That's not bad. Now, by the way, that's a breakfast, Evan.
No, right. But I don't. If you put milk with peanut butter crunch, it doesn't taste that good. Like, you kind of ruin it. Makes it very
soggy.
Soggy.
Then it's not a good cereal.
Then it can't be the best cereal.
Well, it can be a good cereal. Just eat it a different way.
I agree with Evan in this one.
What are your two cereals you're going to
bring? So, number one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and number two, Lucky Charms.
All right. So, just bring in Lucky Charms. I got the Cinnamon Toast
You
crunch.
Got it, partner.
So that
and
gives
I'll bring
us
in the milk.
Seven cereals. And we're going to go to
make town. Make it oat milk.
By the way,
No.
Dude, oat milk.
No, you don't
need cow milk.
What are we, the Real Housewives of Jersey? I'm bringing in regular milk.
You don't have to bring in any milk.
No, unsweetened vanilla almond milk.
What? Oh, jeez. This is the problem with milk. Everyone's got a different opinion.
You know how bad almonds are for the environment? Almond milk.
Oh, here we go.
How do you make milk out of an almond?
Who cares? It's a nut. You put it in your mouth.
I'm just saying, how do you make milk out of an almond? Think about this for a second.
I've never thought about it.
How do you make milk from an oat?
You mix oat with water? How do you get fluid out of an almond?
You're just mixing an almond with water.
Look
it up.
Okay,
look it up.
Would you rather milk a cow?
It's just really bad for the environment.
I got nipples, Greg. Would you milk me?
Sauce Gardner goes on to say, Cinnamon Toast Crunch was really the best cereal in the past, currently, and is projected to be top one in the future. That's actually insane. I don't even know what the hell that means.
I know.
I love sauce.
Maybe there's like a survey that went out. It must be.
That says Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the greatest cereal ever?
That's the only reason it makes sense that he's talking about this randomly.
Dude, I don't disagree with him. I think it's an awesome cereal. Let's go to David in Glen Rock. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
All right. First of all, Tiki, Honey Bunch of the Votes, the bomb. Second of all, Evan, and I say this with peace and love because I love you like a brother. I really, really do. I love listening to you guys. But here's the thing. You have a way about you of taking a conversation to a point, and then just killing it. You take the cereal conversation starting off great, and then you're like, no milk. And I'm like, what do you mean no milk? Did you ever have the milk at the bottom of a bowl after Lucky Charms?
Right.
It is like heaven on earth.
Money.
Yeah, but don't you agree?
It's like cheating your parents when they say eat healthy, and you're like, okay, I'll have cereal. And then you have the cereal, and it's like a smorgasbord of sugar at the bottom.
60 years on this earth, I am a cereal maven. I know my cereal.
Okay, hold on. If you're a cereal maven, here's what I would ask you. And I respect that you don't like the way I consume the cereal. That's okay.
No,
to each his own. That's totally fine. Do you agree with the thought that if you don't use milk, it's not really a cereal?
I don't think I agree with that. That's kind of taking it a little too far.
Exactly.
But I have more of a problem with the fact that the milk is omitted. I think you could still call it cereal.
Thank you. But, so you know what's funny, David? We're on the same page. Like, we agree. You just think I'm nuts. I don't like to have the milk. I don't want the milk. Goodbye, SNY. Like, there are certain cereals where it just doesn't work. And then there are other cereals where I need the milk in it, like Cheerios. I completely agree. Like, what's that really healthy one, Special K?
Mm-hmm.
I did that for a while.
Special K
needs milk.
So,
I'm with you.
So bland.
I know, but it's healthy. Yeah. So sometimes I try to go to the healthy kick.
Certain things you just don't worry about the health. Just a guilty pleasure.
Says the guy with the muscles out of muscles.
I mean, I work out. That's why I have muscles. Not
you
because
also,
of how I eat.
No, you eat well, dude. If we compared all of our eating habits, your eating habits would destroy me and Sean, because we're a little overweight. Mm. He more so than me, but nevertheless.
What about Loogie?
I don't know what he is. I think he's anorexic, so I'm not...
Excuse me? What the hell kind of accusation is that?
I'm not. It's not an accusation. It's just kind of like a curious wonder, if you will.
No, I eat plenty. And okay. Tiki has a sweet tooth, by the way.
Yeah, eat plenty. He made food demands at the suite last night.
Did.
And then when I ordered the fries, everybody's like, yeah, we're not going to have any. So I literally ordered fries on the company's dime.
Can I just say something?
You know, human being.
You know why?
Because he's a diva.
No, because they were freaking tater tots.
Which
there.
I didn't know they were
right.
tots.
If they tater tots trump fries.
Oh, no, they don't.
Hold on, Barber. Relax.
No, they don't.
1,000.
No, they do not. No, they
absolutely
do not.
They
French
do.
Fries no. are the best.
No.
Tater tots are made of the garbage of the fry, yeah. like the potato. They are garbage put together. They're the garbage of the fry industry.
Yes.
So does that mean I shouldn't have ordered on the company's dime French fries because
I
you
had
already
them.
Had tater tots?
No, I don't like tots, so I'm happy to order the fries. I had them with my chicken.
So two people were happy with the French fries that we ordered on Odyssey's dime.
Yes.
I don't know how happy they're going to be.
Well, the French fries weren't engraved in gold.
Let's not act like we broke
the bank for
right.
the fries.
I didn't order a car or a Cristal. It's French fries.
The guys who have no idea what things cost is now telling us, Odyssey won't mind. The company won't mind that they literally bought fries, not for the auction winners, but for those two guys. And their response is going to be, well, we're underpaid. We deserve it anyway.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.